This is the committee of the whole meeting, February 4th, 2013.
Committee of the whole meeting to order at 7:11. Roll call.
Trustee Clemens.
Present.
Trustee Newby.
Present.
Trustee Sandoval.
Here.
Trustee Simoncelli.
Present.
Trustee Trippin. Is absent. Trustee Wyszynski.
Present.
Item 2.1 is approval of the minutes of the committee of the whole January 21st, 2013.
So moved.
Motion by Sandoval, second by Wyszynski. Questions, comments? Roll call.
Trustee Newby?
Aye.
Trustee Clemens?
Aye.
Trustee Wyszynski?
Aye.
Trustee Simoncelli?
Aye.
Trustee Sandoval?
Yes.
Motion carries. Community development of the Swalco fee increase. Discussion.
So in 2007, Swalco implemented the fee, operation maintenance fee of $1 per household, and they said it was charged to help offset increasing landfill surcharges that they were receiving. And now in 2013, so for year 2013, they want to increase that to $1.25 per household. For us, that would mean an increase of $1,551.50 from the $6,206 that we currently pay to $7,757.50. So they are saying that the Swalco services result in revenue, village, recycling, and electronics recycling. However, the electronic collections for three quarters of fiscal year 13 resulted in revenues of approximately $860 and recycling revenues of approximately $17,712. So they also included the fact with a bunch of background information. I don't know if anybody in staff has any more or has any inside information other than what was presented, just the background.
There was a vote taken at the Swalco meeting. I was present, which was placed at the last minute. Okay. And I did think the vote did fail. I don't know if the vote no. There are some to be coming back in March. The mayor was present also and asked that we get some time to be able to study it before voting for another secondary vote again. And that's one of the reasons why the mayor and I talked about making sure we share the packages among all board members. For SMC and Swalco and Java, that's where we're at right now.
The other thing that was discussed at the meeting too, Dan, was that there may be a shortfall in covering the budgeted items for Swalco, and there was a brief discussion on whether the board should consider $1.35 fee. A couple of municipalities commented that they did not have approval from their municipalities to vote on anything more than $1.25 fee. So we want to get the feedback from our board whether we're comfortable having our representative vote for the $1.25, and seeing they had discussion on it, we might as well talk about would we be comfortable with the extra dime on it if that comes up.
Now one of the discussions on that is that there are areas that they could cut to make that up. And also there's still under the possibility of an approved agreement. So that may change everything also. So at this point, I don't know how to be in favor of the extra time.
Right. The discussion was on hazardous waste collections.
Yes.
They have a number of them on site in Gurney. And then there was, two or three mobile collections that seemed to be the big thing that they would consider cutting if they needed to, would be the mobile hazardous waste collection. So, again, we need direction from the board on what to tell our representatives on potential vote.
So these items here that are listed in the background, are those the only five things that they considered, or did they discuss anything else? discussed about reducing the recycled first trash last expenditures.
Gravel also is part of that, recent gravel.
Looking at those cuts that they're proposing right there, that they're saying that where they can reduce, that's not in this initial under item three where it says they will cut their expenditures by 12% since 2008, the revenues have dropped by 16% over the same time period. Correct, so those aren't factored into the decision, correct?
Correct.
And we're talking, we're currently at a $1 fee, and it goes once a year fee?
Yes.
And we're looking to go potentially to $1.25 or $1.35 annual fee, just in one per year.
In the $1.25, if it failed, my dad will try to bring it back, that's how it would last. And I did say, for those who did vote in favor of it, that this one would have to check one of the mail.
There were 32 voting members present. The vote was 31 to 1, so it failed. They needed 32 affirmative votes. Don, do you know how many members there are?
Oh.
Yeah. Sounded like there were 40 or more.
I think that's possible.
Okay. Public comment question.
Sorry, Mayor, I'm going to call a comment. I will do a speech coming for you guys. When I was actually on the block board in 2007 when the dollar came up, it was pretty controversial back at that time to go for a dollar because in essence, Flaco was always supposed to be an agency that was supported by landfill fees, and so that's one of their jobs is to overlook landfills. I personally think you need to go back and renegotiate with landfills to make their money. I think if some of the board members here look at some of the Flaco line items, you'll see some pretty exorbitant prices or salaries that they're paying to their executive director, amongst others, for kind of a quasi-governmental agency. So I would urge the board not to vote in favor of the $1.25, but I am curious if there was a vote on it and 32 were in favor, or 32 were present, 31, how did the village finally vote in that?
You voted in favor of it.
So we voted in favor of it, but now we're backing out of that. Okay, that's interesting. But I would urge that, you know, that Flaco being a quasi-governmental agency that might not be passed along to the consumers, as it seems to be today, the landfill people who they're supposed to be overlooking these payments up front, and that's where Flaco should be looking to get their money. If they're unable to get their money from those perspectives, then they need to start looking at some of the positions that they count. I do know that some of the executive board members, even though they're not paid to Flaco, go on some pretty extravagant trips here and there throughout around the country, and maybe that's another area that they look. So that's only my recommendation as a member of the public for Flaco. Just to get some, you know, some insight back in 2007 when the vote came up, I was representative on Flaco. It was kind of a last-minute plea deal. They needed this. It was controversial at the time and approved. But it kind of seems that they're coming back now asking for $1.25, potentially $1.35, that once you open that floodgate, they're going to come back on an annual basis and ask for more money to support themselves. Because, and that's just the way these type of organizations run. Thank you.
Thank you. Don, the other discussion, you mentioned the host fees from Group, and that's referring to the potential transfer station.
Yes.
That we looked at that a little bit, that probably wouldn't take effect for a year or two, so this upcoming budget probably wouldn't be impacted with availability from...
I don't know, you're not sure it's happening, when it would take effect, so it could affect this budget.
But it seemed to be based on tipping fees, so if the facility wasn't in operation, most likely they wouldn't have any tipping fees available to be paid through the host agreement this coming year. So.
We as a village, our representative, said yes to the ballot so far.
Yes.
Did we notice what was coming, or we didn't?
It had been discussed at the November meeting. They didn't have enough members present to pick a vote that would pass at that meeting. So I guess the answer would be yes. We failed to have the discussion on it at that time, but we're making sure we're having discussion so we can get feedback now.
So are we, so I mean, that's a standing vote. We can't undo that, right?
No, but it did fail, so we haven't got a step chance at that.
Okay.
So then you have the board, you and I want to give it away.
And the approved rate still stands at $1 per residential unit at this point, regardless of whether the new vote would pass.
When did the new vote take place again?
Possibly in March.
I think
March 28th is the next meeting.
I'd like to take 14 days too.
Right.
Did make the comment that the potential group transfer host agreement fees would be about 8 to 9% of their annual budget, which when they were discussing group transfer, that he said that's not a substantial portion of the budget. And then at the end of the meeting, when the vote came up, one of the members mentioned that he'd been at the CAC committee meeting, and the potential shortfall on the budget was brought up, and so what impact would that have? So I thought it was quite interesting. I know 8 or 9% is insignificant, but
yeah,
the cost increased 25 to 35%, so 8 to 9%. Right. Okay, we'll bring that back for discussion again. Did receive a call this morning from Marty Fallon from Shaw Environmental, who are representatives for group. They have agreed to host a educational informational meeting. It will be a joint meeting with the Village of Round Lake and the Village of Amesville. They've got it scheduled for Saturday, February 16th at the Park School, 400 Townline Road, from 9 until 11:30 is the time schedule on it. Originally, they talked about a presentation that would last probably around 45 minutes and then a question and answer period after that. When Marty told me the time this morning, I didn't think that much about it. The 9 to 11:30, he wasn't specific about whether they were going to do a presentation and then question and answers, or if they intended to do similar to the public meeting that they held on the construction and demolition site. So I will follow up with them and ask that hopefully they're going to have a presentation and materials to give the people that are in attendance on the type of facility construction, what they're proposing for landscaping, with building construction, hours operation. Walter had mentioned that they plan on doing some part of the Swalco's agreement, right, Don? The host agreement would be insisting that they do turn lanes on 120 to facilitate the traffic increase. So hopefully they'll have some details on that that can be presented to our residents and board, and we'll be better educated and better prepared to ask additional questions and get feedback from our residents on that.
Let me see what's done then. Appreciate you making sure you have lower than you want the presentation style. I think that is actually, you really stress that it really is important, because even just from being at the last meeting and overhearing other conversations, there was a lot of, well, he said this, she said this, or he said this. And, but it was a complete disconnect where it didn't seem like everybody was on the same page, everybody was mumbling and stumbling, and one thing over the thing, like everybody has perfection at one time, problems the same, everybody hears what's being said, and not, it's like being said, oh, you missed perfect, this is what being said.
Hopefully they could have their presentation on a PowerPoint overhead, so everybody stayed at one second. Very spot from that, so.
I just really eliminate the he said, she said, and, like, even so, I even, like, the one person for one thing, and one for the next, but for the thing, I still completely different thing. So if they can have all people on the same page, the residents aren't going to be behind them, because nobody's going to listen.
And the other thing is they do have the life cycle analysis public meeting scheduled for March 6th at the Rowling Beach Civic Center. Somebody know the time on it? Don, do you know what? I don't think I've heard the starting time on it, but it sounds like it's confirmed that it will be on the 6th. The meeting will actually be hosted by Round Lake Park. That will satisfy the life cycle analysis requirement of the siting application that needs to be done before they actually file their application. So that's why we're pushing to have this public meeting for our residents to get informed prior to that meeting. So if they've got questions, maybe they can respond ahead of time, or residents will be better equipped to develop their questions more formally to raise questions at the meeting if they need to.
So if they would have submitted their application, it would have been a violation.
That's what the discussion was, and that was initially why SWALCO voted to not support it and possibly the litigation that needed. Anything else to add on that? Any other questions? Okay. On to the Public Works Facility Capital Assets Engineer.
Thank you, Mayor. This one hopefully is straightforward. The facility immediately south of this building was built, and I am advised to make the physical connections when the joint similarity to the water lines are going out to typically it's called well number two building. Built about 20 years ago, these steel doors, for a variety of reasons, are badly corroded, should be replaced, and that's what this proposal is. We took quotes from three different reputable door installations companies, and as indicated, overhead door from Rowling Park was the lowest bidder at $6,060 for the five doors. Happy to answer any questions.
So this one passed the word and all are considered functional, correct?
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear it.
They're corroded past where they're considered functional and no longer safe, that's the form of cast.
They're reached the point of corrosion that there's no effective way of reversing that, preserving them. Yes, the door lock still has integrity, so the security is not compromised, but it will continue to deteriorate. Much physical presence that facility has, it seems to be a prudent thing to do to galvanized coatings with fiber, and then we will paint over the primer with a color that can be chosen later.
And then just make sure we continue to wash them now.
Okay.
Properly seal the things so we don't get them.
And then this question goes to you or to Ron, but the $1,100 is able to be offset somehow?
We're under, by the way.
This was budgeted and proposed a low quote, almost $1,800 under what we had budgeted.
Okay, we'll move that forward then. $10,000 from the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus for
far as state, that maximum we qualify at the dollar amount is based on population. We have to match that $10,000 or whatever we get in some manner of eligible activity, eligible expenditure. We can, with our in-house resources, do the tree removal and tree planting. So our labor, our equipment usage, whatever materials, such as water bags around the planted trees, would be eligible expenses. It will not be a problem for us to document more than a $10,000 contribution. The other number that was optimistic is $10,000, from my early understanding, could buy us 100 replacement trees of different diverse species. In interaction with our consultant, he thought I was still really optimistic to get a good quality tree in the 1.5-inch to 2-inch caliper, and that more likely we'd be looking for trees in the $150 range on average. So the actual application I went forward indicated 65 to 75 replacement trees, taking out at least that number. Again, a whole other discussion that might not be better done in a work session. Where do we want to go with our parkway trees, given the difficult decision that was made to have to eliminate the pre-replacement funding? So again, I'm without simple answers here, but it seemed to me the right thing to do, at least to try and secure some grant funding so we could at least begin this journey. Questions, please.
Okay. So first of all, your overall recommendation is to remove all the ash trees, all 951 that's listed here. I mean, obviously not right this second of this year, but your recommendation is even the ones that aren't impacted, or is this year then?
There is no known predator other than a woodpecker trying to find food, and that is one of the indicators of the presence of ash borer. Chemical treatment may or may not become a preventative action. So all the ash trees in the Midwest are at that level of risk from what I've read and from the presentation I initially attended by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. I am not suggesting we try to figure out how to remove and replace 991 trees in the next year or two, but I think we have to try to figure out that and get potential and get better ability.
Okay. And then obviously we're not currently removing trees at this point. So this $10,000 maybe, you know, with labor, where are we going to lose that offset from the public works? Because if they're not, if they're doing the tree, digging up, removing old trees, putting in the new ones, what part of the work schedule is going to be affected by that?
I'm sorry, what part of what?
The work schedule. So before you, I mean, obviously, you're talking about using all in-house, our own labor, so we can do the match back to the $10,000.
Correct.
Right? Now, if our workers are doing the cleaning up of the old trees and putting planting new ones and all the maintenance on the new ones to get them all ready, what are we missing or decreasing our time spent in public works? What's going to be in the short end of the stick potentially? Or do we have a little more free time than we think?
You're absolutely correct. There's an opportunity cost of diverted man hours, if I can say it that way, that would come from a variety of other necessary activities that should be done. premature, but one of the requests I made to Mark and Steve for the next fiscal year budget is increase the funding for seasonals to at least be part of this labor activity should we get grant. So I'm not prepared to tell you what will not get done if we pursue this. If there is a lot of competition, so even though I feel good as to the details in the application meeting all the required information, I cannot say for sure we will succeed. And as was evidenced from our technical assistance grant, we got half of what we asked for in 2011. So certainly, if we're successful, that will come back to the board, and at that time, I could better answer your question, what is the opportunity for us.
Yeah, okay. And then, my application was submitted, and I didn't do in any way tied to it, okay? We have to move forward and correct. It was just to get up.
I apologize again. I probably should start wearing my hair today.
So the application in no way ties to the legitimacy of saying if we're accepted that we have to move forward with this. This is just a preliminary step saying we are interested in this. If you guys should make it available to us, and then we can discuss it further at that time. Correct? It wasn't saying we are committed. You know, if you give us okay, we have to match up to this amount or whatever you're giving us.
I'll answer that in this manner. We first were apprised that this January 23rd, the deadline was February 1st. So I did submit the application on February 1st. Early March is the expected release time. Congratulations or thanks to Brian. At that time, again, the decision to go forward can be made, should be made with the board's full understanding and hopeful support.
Okay, so this sentence here, under number 3, as we will be required to at least match equally. At least equally match the word amount we will use. Now that is strictly just saying that if it is accepted by the board, if an offer comes down saying yes, we're going to grant you guys up to this amount of money. This is what we deal, you know, your application, this is the board. At that point in time, it can come back to us for further approval, or is it saying that by sending the application, it's already been agreed that we are committed to this regardless?
We can back out even if we're awarded.
With no
penalty. As consequences, my opinion, down the road. Obviously, as you know, I worry about the limited number of man hours that we public work have. Nevertheless, our Parkway Trees, our statement of the village, an investment in something that has value that will increase if we figure out a way to properly maintain and enhance our urban farms. So in my opinion, this is attractive enough that it should be offered to us. I will find a way to minimize the opportunity cost to go and make this happen.
Yeah, I do like the fact that it is another opportunity for coming back and work together with and getting some help on these trees. But I also don't want to see that if there's another one critical aspect that is going to be directly affected right away. So I would definitely like to see either get me up to discussion further. I would definitely like to see at that time what potential offers we're going to see, where we might see that opportunity lost because we're now working on this.
Thank you for those questions.
I think part of it is if we have an opportunity to be awarded $10,000 that we don't have today, it would be prudent for us to try to be able to match that. My understanding of the ash borer and what we're proposing to do is cut the trees down and chip them. And if I've heard right in the past that if you chip them down to a size of 2 inches or smaller, that eliminates the spread of the borers that are within that wood because they need area to feed on and they don't typically just jump from tree to tree to keep eating. They eat through a tree, and that's where you see the infestation getting worse, where it's more prominent that the tree is infected. So I think we've got stages to work with, so it wouldn't be something we would have to do immediately. We most likely would be able to spread it over sometime, maybe a year's time or something.
The notice of award again early March, a month from now, with work completion a year from now, March 2014. So yes, most of the trees that thrive in this part of the Midwest are the fall planted trees. So we would gear up for a fall planting. There would be a piece of this of interacting with the property owners to secure an unenforceable commitment for them to help in the care of these trees. Watering, we could provide mulch potentially initially and some replacement. Should that commitment not happen, then yes, I'm envisioning that we would do the watering ourselves. I don't like that thought, but an investment, a grant, should we accept it as again, it's down the road workload.
The other thing, Ron, when we were talking to Chuck about and his daughter about the number of infested trees, isn't there actually a much higher number that they believe has at least a minor infestation at this time?
Correct. And the presentation, when we get into the forward work session on this, the rate of growth, the emerald ash borer beetle population is still accelerating. There's plenty of food to support population of pests. And so absent some way of abating.
The comment was until the food chain disappears, they will continue to buy it.
And that's where all our actions be public and private, not unique railway reference.
Another thing that was discussed is possibly public-private partner asking residents, number one, educating them on what the problem is, how it's progressing. If we cut down the infested trees and chip them to where the beetles don't spread out as fast, that can slow down the process. Doing a questionnaire to the residents, would you be comfortable with blank spots? Would you be interested in partnering, sharing some of the cost on a replacement of a tree in front of your house, things like that? Again, to educate the residents on what's going to happen if we're proactive, if we're not proactive, what the result's going to be in a 10-year period, and how we can get help to try to offset some of the village costs if people are interested enough in trees to help us out on it. Nothing else, at least to educate them, if we have bare spots in your parkway that we can't afford to replace, this is the reason why, and we will try to be proactive on it. Going back to those, number one, if we can take the time to cut the trees down and chip them, we wouldn't necessarily have to take the walls up right away, so that could be a second phase, and maybe tied in with tree planting, so if we could get, if we've got money for planting, and that could be negotiated in the new tree replacement or something like that, there are some options to try to spread our time out so we don't impact the other project as much as well. So, but it is a serious problem. The other thing I asked Chuck about, the old top part of town, we've got a lot of large maple trees, and I asked him if there was some type of disease going around their nose, or if it's just the nature of the type of tree that we've got a lot of them rotting away. Park Avenue, there's some really big silver maples. He said most of those are hollow inside. The silver maples only have a life expectancy of 50 to 60 years top. The Norway maples are a little harder, but their life expectancy is only in the range of 70 years. So we've got a whole lot of trees in that area, and I've got a bunch in my yard that, you know, when I was 10 or 12, my grandmother and they were like that, now they're like this, so they're 50 years growth that I've seen, and so they're getting towards their end of their life cycle, and I'm seeing in Norway some rotted branches and stuff that are deteriorating, so not only are we dealing with the younger ash trees, we've got mature trees that are dying off that going to be another thing that preservation of trees is going to be an issue we're going to have to try to deal with. And those bigger trees are more expensive to remove the hazardous trees than to cut these small ones and try to defeat the beetles at this point. So it just keeps becoming a bigger problem for us.
So what if we live in our parkway tree replacement budget? That years ago.
It's something to consider in that. What can we afford? How can we afford? And what do we tell our residents?
Yeah, yeah. Well,
we
have
to speak to the residents when it comes down to it. Some day, I mean, I know we say village budget, but it also is taxpayer dollars.
Right.
You know, if you can help offset the cost a little bit, you know,
The other topic that we talked about briefly was as our parkway trees mature, we plant the 2 to 4 inch parkway tree, and then in 20 to 30 years, well, first of all, we need a pruning project to get them shaped properly over the first 10 years, I believe you said. And then once you pass that first 10 years, then you've got 10 and 20 year programs to do the higher branch pruning, the lower branch pruning to shape the tree in the first 10 year cycle. But there's cycles of pruning that ideally we need to be working on as well. And then we get into, as those parkway trees mature, the root systems start getting bigger, as the trunks get bigger, and then we start getting the sidewalk eaves as well, so it's a never-ending cycle of damned if you do and damned if you don't, but the trees are nice and they help the ecology.
It's awesome.
straight, you said there's nothing in the budget right now for that?
In the current environment.
I went through a period forward for a number of years, and now we just...
I thought I just asked about it months ago, and I thought this doesn't do well. Because I had brought that one, we got a magazine, and I'd asked about that. She intended to move mine, so...
Yeah, just a clarification of tree replacement. What was done for a long time was, you know, a few years back, the previous board established that the village was a tree city. As part of the tree city, you had so much of your budget had to be set aside for trees. But that doesn't mean it was always utilized. What was done was just the dead and dying trees. So that line item in the budget was X to meet the tree city requirements, but that was never really fully expended. It was only dead and dying, and then the cost of those was what was expended. But last year, it was removed entirely when the board decided on one tree city.
So, Ron, do we currently have a work plan? Obviously, we just have assessments on all the ash trees. Has assessments been done on some of the other trees, like the maple trees, as well as the kind of market square and what we need? I'm sorry.
No, it's me.
So, we just did the assessment on the ash trees. So, we just have the assessment done on our ash trees to find out what trees need maintenance, need to be replaced, or, you know, sort of in trouble. Did we do an assessment on the rest of the trees to kind of get an idea of how much and what the levels are of what that's actually needed on them, so we can have this with planning the budget to see what we can do to work on?
If I'm understanding the question, the inventory that we, my staff, did with some training identified the species, and if that tree was an ash tree with the limited training and expertise, and I don't mean that in a negative way, my staff attempted to identify the extent of emerald ash borer impact on that ash tree. Since we had this technical assistance grant, our consulting arborist, a three-person company, did the spot checking of all the ash trees, verifying that yes, we properly identified it as an ash tree, and with their expertise, said this tree is badly infected, or there's only minimal evidence. That's where the 176 number came from, calling substantively infected, impacted. So of those, let's assume we can buy 70.
Well, I'm not about, sorry, with the exception of the ash ones, okay, because those have been identified, the other species of trees that we have that may need work or removal because of rotting or an infection of some sort for them, so we identify what level may be needed there and what trees will need immediate attention or attention in the next couple of years or however long. I'm not raised on by any means.
We have very few Dutch elm trees. So the Dutch elm disease, my understanding, has come and gone and had its impact years ago. Singling that out, none of the other species of pine trees we have, which are a lot of maple, have a known predator.
Okay, so now it's dying out.
So said a little differently and simplistically, the ash trees are a nemesis, at least to the extent the learned people know. In the old part of town, the mayor is absolutely correct. We have trees that have reached their maturity and are in decline, and are our biggest hazards. If you
you recall, they were both board action. I brought forward to remove two trees that were leaning and were dead right ahead. There are more out there in Old Town. There is some money requested in next fiscal year's budget to be able to fund some mature hazardous tree removal.
Okay, so those ones will be identified when you're requesting for the budget for the trees.
That's correct.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to find out is what we can see, so when we are planning for the budget, where we can see how much we need to make sure we're allocating, figuring out where we're pulling stuff from. Thank you.
Those would most likely be the more obvious ones. There are many more that aren't as obvious.
And that's going to be, as always, especially. Yeah.
And we don't have the funding to do the inspection and all of them that may be.
Well, it'd be a little astronomical just to kind of walk in and inspect every single tree in the village. Just more so the ones that, you know, the ones that we are aware of that are going to be posted in the most list that we can see.
Readily hazardous.
And that everybody is made us aware of.
Right.
The ones that they weren't, that is what I was trying to get to, what we're aware of, what we see, that we can have a plan for and our life on.
10 times what we do.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. Okay, please.
Mr. Mayor, members of the board, the agenda item summary that you have before you is seeking approval to take the invoice from the Northern Illinois Police Alarm System annual membership of $400 and emergency services fee special, which is $3,300. Northern Illinois Police Alarm System, typically known as NIDAS, is the organization that we would call when we're in trouble and we need help. They have the ability to bring the town 5 times the amount of people like our service department and handle very serious high-risk incidents that we aren't necessarily capable of. They can handle them for long-term or short-term. They have the tools that we don't have. And the expertise they train off, and we have one officer that's assigned to like this. This is a very worthwhile investment in the police department. I'm asking you to approve the payment of this invoice.
This was vehicle over housing now. Is it Meg's vehicle or?
That was the major crimes task force, and we don't have it in our building anymore.
Have we ever used the NIDAS?
Yes, we have.
No, we have.
And I can recall 2 incidents off the top of my head that we have used, and one some by then.
Any questions or comments?
Grief transfer station update, we talked about most of that. The other thing that we want to try to do, Marcus put together 4-foot questions that we can do on a CTY call, basically asking if you're aware of the proposed transfer station, are you in favor of it, are you opposed to it, do you need more information to make the decision?
That was all 4, Mayor. Right?
That was only 3, right?
Opposed, or
need more information,
or you don't know.
Don't know.
Don't have an opinion.
The other potential question we were thinking of, would you expect the village to expend funds for legal fees to oppose the transfer station if it got to that position? And we were kind of thinking initially keep it a little bit shorter to get feedback. The idea would be to send it out before the public meeting on the 16th and possibly again afterwards to see if people's responses had changed at all or after the meeting, we may be able to add some questions based on feedback from the residents at that time to get some better guidance from the residents on it.
Can we do an email to our residents?
We've got a limited email list, so the CPY would initially contact more people, and I think part of it is if we have a note, if you were unclear on the questions, please visit the website and reply to the survey on the website. That's
no question. Okay.
And that, by doing that questionnaire, hopefully would pique people's interest to attend the meeting as well.
Yeah, and I think if you do it in two stages like that, so you generate, determine what the opposition is, and then you can go back and determine their level of opposition
right.
To your point, would you be willing to fund a lawsuit against that?
Anything else to add, Mark?
No, sir.
Questions, comments? Suggested new topics? Going three times?
Well, I know you're preparing the budget, is given all the discussion about parkway trees, are we looking at that, trying to include that in the budget, John? Are you?
I have requested what I call a nominal amount of $10,000, and the mayor indicated that I brought up back in September a cost-sharing program and the football 50-50 program, that $10,000 then seemingly being our participation.
Another thing I think we were going to talk about at some point, that we're going to revisit our overall tree policy ordinance.
That's
still on the list to address, and I haven't had the time to go through and highlight concerns. Has anybody else yet?
I'll keep
it on everybody's to-do list. And,
all right.
Can I get a copy of
the
ordinance?
You
don't directly
discuss
portions.
Three. All of the sections that pertain to it. There's
yes.
Four different sections, right?
Is it four?
I think three actual ordinances plus policies and guidelines?
There's policies and guidelines, yeah. That's the most important part.
Right.
Yeah.
The ordinance themselves are the short part. Policy and guidelines is the 90, somewhere
right.
At range page.
Yeah. That's correct.
So then we'll just make our decisions as to what we were thinking, and then we can bring the next meeting
I would
is email fine for everybody for the
yes. There was a link sent out before for it, so you can start to add it. There are several sections, so we make sure we get the
and it couldn't be done in one email because it was too big.
Right.
PDF. So we need it available. It's still on there?
I think so.
Probably still on the website then, under those links. Yeah. I'll get you that info. Where's that?
It's almost like if you don't have hard copies of someone, once you identify areas that you want to comment. You probably need to print a couple of pages to mark up what your thoughts are on, or if you have the capability to highlight on your smart tablet, whatever that would be fine too.
Yes.
And
put a little note.
And perhaps you could teach some of us what you think about how to do that.
I think it's definitely more than happy.
Okay. Any other topics? Okay, no executive session, so motion to adjourn.
So, yeah.
Stand by, second by Clemens. All in favor?
Aye.